Blog Talk Radio.
Here's to the debt. Good evening to all of you tonight. We are live for Saturday Night Live. Jesus is alive and well. I got to say my words right because I'm not going to say Saturday Night Live because those people put out a pretty perverse show and I don't want nothing to do with them and I don't want anybody to delete me because I said Saturday Night Live and that's, you know, copyrighted and all the rest of that stupidity that goes on. So, glory be to God, here we are. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith, where we are very, very, very specifically teaching you the principles and doctrines of faith over and over. And the Apostle Paul and Peter and John all said in different ways, I will be faithful to continually teach you the Word of God, because from now until Jesus comes, we've all got to give ourselves to the diligent study of God's holy word and the growth and development in the things of God. And, you know, the closer we get to the end, the more, as it says in the book of Hebrews, as we see the day approaching, we must give ourselves all the more to the gathering together and the study of God's holy word and teaching and admonishing one another, encouraging one another, standing in faith with one another so that we're strong all the way to the end. And so once again tonight, I'm going to open up with a video that I believe is very important to us. I don't know that we'll watch the whole thing. I didn't set a specific timestamp on the different points that I wanted to have made, but I sat here tonight and said, you know, I understand timestamps. I might not have done that, which would have made it easy for us to come to an understanding. Welcome, Sister Sunday and Sister Phyllis. You're not on the cruise ship. We're glad to have you with us. So, tonight I got a word from Amir Sarfati. And if you're new to us, you might not know Amir. All of those who are with us here on our program on a regular basis, you are familiar with Amir Sarfati. And he's got a word tonight about the speech that Putin made. The difference between his word and what you're going to see on the news media about Putin's word is Brother Amir is going to take it right to the word of God and talk to you from God's holy word about what was said. And it's a good program. That might be about 20 minutes long. And then we're going to come back and Tonight's message is, I want to get the words exactly right. How much does it grieve God when his children sin? Hold on. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to go here, Brother Amir Sarfati. And the cool thing about Amir is he is a Jewish man who found Jesus. He was born in Israel, and he lives on the Sea of Galilee. So everything he does comes from a very, very specific on-the-ground, feet-on-the-ground process, and he's a mighty man of God who understands the Word of God. And so I like this. As we listen to this, we're putting our faith in agreement with 189,000 people. And thank God that we're making that kind of an impact on the world. I'll share my screen, and here we go with Brother Amir Sarfati. Make sure you like his pages so that you can keep up with him. I don't play all of his stuff because this man puts out a lot of material, but it keeps you up to date at what's happening in the world from the biblical perspective. Here we go.
I'm from Irvine, California. I'm on my way in just about 45 minutes to for Futures Conference today, this evening. Charlie Kirk will start, and then tomorrow I'll be speaking there in the afternoon. But listen, breaking news, big news, and if you're not on Telegram, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. If you are on Telegram, you better check it right now, because tons of stuff has happened since the morning hours. And what you just saw is Vladimir Putin entering the big hole in the Kremlin to give a speech that is a landmark in the future of this planet, of all of us, because of his declaration of intentions. So before I go there, and I'll talk about the threat of an imminent nuclear war, and I'll tell you what, in the last few hours, Israeli intelligence picked up from a Russian base in regards to nuclear bombers. So listen, let's start with a prayer, okay? And then this is super important, and please share it with as many as you can, okay? Father, I thank you that in you we know we have security, stability, peace, and hope, and encouragement. Without you in this world, we are lost.
We are lost.
There's so much tribute, wars and rumors of wars, pestilences. There's so many things that are going on. But you, Jesus, told us not to worry, not to be concerned. These things must happen, but the end is not yet there. Lord, we thank you that we have a word, and we can look into world events. We can connect the dots, draw much encouragement, but at the same time, be on the edge of our seat to see your next movie. Thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, shalom, everyone. This is Amir Sarfati. These are breaking news from what's going on in Russia. And listen to me, folks. It is important. I honestly don't know where to start from, because it all goes back to 2 weeks ago when me and Pastor Barry Stagner gave a special update where I gave you on camera live a detailed outline of the philosophy of Vladimir Putin's main leader or spiritual leader, Vladimir Dugin. And Alexander Dugin. And Alexander Dugin, literally what I said 2 weeks ago from Fort Worth about his philosophy, a few hours ago, Vladimir Putin said these things word by word. It's amazing. Now, let me explain. In the last few days, there was a referendum. Are we not with the sound? The last few years, are we with sound? Is there sound? Okay. In the last few days, there was a referendum going on in four Ukrainian provinces, in Donetsk, in Lugansk, in Kherson, and in Zaporizhia. And the four of them, just so you know, the majority of the pro-Ukrainian people fled already, and whoever was left there were people that were actually forced to vote yay for an annexation to motherland Russia. And a couple of days ago, I reported to you the actual results of the referendum. If you remember, over 89%, between 89 to 95% approved to be annexed to Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, today in a big ceremony, you just saw a video of Putin walking inside
Today, in a very big ceremony, Vladimir Putin gets into the hall, gets on the stage, and he said something that is quite remarkable. Now, a lot of Christians are falling for the deception that is going on here, because he's saying the right things. He is against the progressive mindset of the West. He is against the liberal mindset of the West. He is against a lot of the things that all of us as Christians are against, which is wonderful. But what you tend to forget is that a couple hours before the speech, he ordered the attack on a Ukrainian convoy that killed 24 civilians within 3 seconds. All of them were butchered. You're talking about someone who is not exactly a role model for any Christian. So, you know, we can say the right things, but if we do the wrong things, we do the wrong things, but we're not to be followed by anyone. So Putin understands that the way to get to the conservative part of the Western world is to say the right words, to come against, you know, fluidity in sexual orientation, to come against the change in the family structure. He's against parent one and parent two. He comes against a surveillance in society. He comes against what he calls colonization of the rest of the world by the West. You know, he says a lot of things, and I'm going to tell you a few things that he said. But I want you to know, Christians, from some strange reason, which I don't know. Fall in the trap of that deception. You see, the enemy, Satan, is very smart in deceiving people, not only one way. He is actually deceiving in two ways. To these people, he's selling this lie, and to the other people, he's selling that lie. And no wonder why we are told to judge the tree by its fruits. People can say great things, but if they do the opposite, let's say there is a serial killer, and he's saying, hey, I'm a conservative Christian, and on the way to the meeting with you, he killed 10, and on the way out of your meeting with you, he's killing another 10. Well, he can have maybe conservative views, but he's definitely not someone you want to align with. And this is exactly the situation here. I am not pro-Ukrainian mindset or Western mindset or Western values, progressive liberal values. No. It's not even about that. But I identify the fact that there is double deception here. You know, the West is deceived by the fact that they think that gender has fluidity and family can be determined by same-sex marriage as well. Where it's the climate change is the biggest problem and the government can reach out and take your liberty. All of these things I'm certainly against. But at the same time, I cannot be lectured by someone who is killing innocent civilians, not on a daily basis, but on an hourly basis. Now, let me explain to you what Vladimir Putin did and what he said. But before that, I will tell you this. Israeli satellite company, intelligence company, has detected, and all of that is on Telegram. I have the photos, the maps, the videos. If you're not on Telegram, get it. Get it now, or else you're not informed. And not informed nowadays is disinformed, misinformed, because mainstream media will feed you lies or won't tell you anything about what's going on. Well, an Israeli intelligence company has detected an irregular presence of Russian Tupolev 160 and Tupolev 95. These are strategic nuclear bombers. And they're stationed at the Olenia Air Base. The base is located on the Kolsky Peninsula that houses a significant amount of military equipment, tactical and strategic nuclear weapons. You're probably asking me, why are you telling us that? Well, hours earlier, Vladimir Putin said the following thing. In his speech, he says, the USA was the first to use nuclear weapons against Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and thus set a precedent. Note the use of the word precedent as if it's an excuse for Russian use of nuclear weapons today. But he said many more things. He said many, many more things. And allow me to tell you that in the backdrop of all of this speech, besides the annexation of these territories, and by the way, on Telegram, I put the map of the annexed provinces to Russia right now. But in the backdrop, there is a great battle that is going on right now. Before I went to sleep last night, I knew it's going to get ugly because the Ukrainian military managed to encircle and surround the Russian troops in the city of Lyman in the Donbas area in eastern Ukraine. Now, Donbas is Putin's crown jewel. This is the first area he wanted to take over and, of course, annex. And now the Ukrainians are having a major victory in the area Putin claims to be his. Hundreds of, I have, it says on the headline says, Russian correspondents saying thousands of Russian troops are about to get trapped in eastern Ukraine. There's a battle going on right now. Thousands of Russian troops are surrounded by Ukrainian forces. We are talking about battalions and divisions that are right now battling over there. Ugly, it is destructive. And if Putin is going to lose in that battle, not only that it's a very humiliating defeat for him, especially in light of the annexation, but it will be such a big blow to the morale of the soldiers on the ground. But A, they will feel like their government just abandoned them. B, they will understand that there is no way they can get out of it alive. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly why Putin was using these words. Now, let me tell you, Lyman, which is not a big city, it's considered a medium to smaller city, but it's a key city because if that one falls, then Russia is officially defeated in the Donbas region. All the advance of the Russians in the last few months will be wiped out within one day. Thousands of Russian soldiers are going to be slaughtered by Ukrainians who are justly or rightfully, you know, trying to kill them because they are trying to kill them also. I mean, it's a war. Now watch this. If that happens, I'm not sure if Putin will allow that to happen, and I'm sure that the speech that he gave kind of paved the way for him to say, if needed, just like America did in 1945, if needed, I'm going to use nuclear weapon, and it will not be lectured by America, but used itself nuclear weapon in war that's not even on its own soil. Now, this speech was quite amazing because it was like a defiance not only to the West and the Western values. Just like he said, I don't want a parent one and parent two. Vladimir Putin, a few hours ago, declared war on the world order that exists, announced a new world order thus had begun. He said, China is on my side. North Korea is on my side. If I want, many of the Muslim and Islamic countries, including Turkey, will be on my side. India is on my side and many other forces. It was a very, very aggressive speech. And it's a speech where he's looking at the future. It's not a speech of, oh, that's it. I'm gone. I'm done. It's a future. And he said something that should worry all people who think that the war in Ukraine is going to finish very soon. No, no. He said, actually, Ukraine is not even the end of this war. It's the beginning of this war. It's the beginning of an irreversible process to create a new world order. How many times have you heard the term new world order and you were always thinking about, you know, the Antichrist system and you know, the Great Reset and all that, but someone is actually right now fighting for a new world order, regardless of the globalist system. In fact, someone is fighting globalism with the term new world order. And look what he said, okay? He said, after the dissemination of the Soviet Union, the world wanted to bring Russia apart, to make it fall apart. Not just Russia, the land, its language, and its values, he said, but it did not succeed. The world wanted to wipe out the spiritual strength of the Russian people, the resilience of the Russian people. Then he moved on and he said, all the promises that NATO gave us that it will not expand to the east were violated, he said. We've warned you over and over, again and again, but the West was determined and is determined to bring Russia down. That's what he said. Then he said, the West was surprised with this war because the Western world did not understand the spirit of the Russian people. We will defend our land, we will use all the forces we have and all the possible means, he said, against the West. Then he said, the West will do all it can do to preserve the colonial system that it created in the world. He said, America is the first country to use nuclear weapon twice, he said. America is used to take everything with extortion. They are printing dollars and euros, but you cannot feed people with paper bills. That's what Putin is saying. Putin is literally talking to the conservative base in America, the conservatives in Europe. He is basically telling all of them, look, you need to be on my side. I'm fighting your fight. Now watch it. He says, the citizens of the four provinces in Ukraine chose to come back to their own land, Russia, and you have to respect that, he said. From now on, they are Russian citizens, and their destiny is our common destiny, he said. Listen, if that's not enough, he said, the beginning of the cancellation of Western domination and hegemony is irreversible. Putin is basically saying, guys, this is just the beginning. He said, the world that the Western West created is not democratic. It is just an illusion, and it's hypocritical. Then he said, now look at what he's very smart. He's now turning to the Europeans, and he says, America is leading Europe to the destruction and the collapse of the European industries, and basically it is bringing down the pan-European system. He's trying to put a wedge between America and Europe. Very smart. And then he said, this is not like this is the end. He said, basically, I'm ready for a greater war. And he then signed the paper. Folks, this is quite phenomenal what Putin basically said. And I'm telling you, this is the beginning. He's not ruling out use of nuclear weapon. Israel detected already movement of nuclear bombers in Russia, and stuff is going to get ugly in the coming days and weeks. Now, why am I saying all of this? By the way, not to scare any one of you. This is the situation on the ground. It's not to scare you. That was his speech, and that is the situation in Ukraine, and that is the situation also in the different parts around it. Putin also said we know who the Nord Stream pipe we know who is benefiting from it the most. He's basically saying, look, I am having a moral, legal, and political justification to do what I'm about to do. Now, I'm not sure if he's pointing his finger at America, or maybe at Israel, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I know that he's already calculating his next step. You know, the Bible says, it's very interesting, you know, I quoted that on Telegram. And again, I cannot stress it enough. If you don't have Telegram, get it. I'm putting videos. And by the way, I don't know if you saw it, but a terrible attack happened, you know, a couple hours before the speech. And I did not share with you the footage of the dead civilians in Zaporizhia, but it was terrible carnage that I've not seen for a long time. But I will share with you the biblical portion that it's important to know, okay? So the Bible says in Ezekiel 38, verse 3, thus says the Lord God, behold, God is saying, behold,
God is saying,
I am against you, O Gog. Gog is the title of the leader. The leader of who? The prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. This is basically a biblical description of Russia. God says, I am against you. And then comes the Ezekiel war, and God is going to defeat them himself. God is against you. And so God is not buying all of this moral lecturing of Putin. He said, by the way, make no mistake, I agree with the very, very disturbed progressive liberal mindset of the West. Everything he said about how the West is completely corrupt and causing everybody to go the wrong way. I agree with that. But what I don't agree is that some Christians think that Putin is the savior of this world now, and he's the good guy in this whole picture. Putin is reading from a piece of paper that was written to him by Alexander Dugin, and Alexander Dugin is a smart man who understands how to get to the hearts of the religious people around the world, those that are holding religious values. He knows that. He understands that. He says, look, we, Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism, we all share the same, you know, values of family and mother and father. And we all share the same thing about, you know, value of life and all that. He's talking about value of life while he's butchering hundreds of people every day. So I need you to understand that the enemy is very, very smart, okay? The enemy is speaking through someone whom God says, I'm against you. So don't fall into that trap of thinking that there's the good guys and the bad guys here. No. Somebody woke up one day and decided that it's his time to invade into a sovereign country and to annex 20% of its territory to himself overnight. That's what really happened. Now, there's much more that I could share with you, but I don't want to make this update too long. But I do want you to know, nuclear war has never been so close than now. He puts it on the table, Putin. He said, look, don't lecture to me. America used it first. America set the precedent. I can do it, and I will use all the means within my disposal to push forward the battle for a new world order. Very interesting days are ahead of us. And I want you to know that the Bible is very clear about against whom God is here. But I also want you to know, folks, that the only way you can understand world events today is if you go back to the scriptures. And I will conclude with this. You know, I wrote today a short commentary, and I would like to read, and it's also on Telegram. I would like to read that to you. For the Antichrist to rise, Europe and the Middle East must go through a terrible war, because he's the one who brings peace. I believe that also America and China and others will go through a terrible financial downfall that will render them powerless, which is at the horizon. Everybody agrees. And then thus, that's basically how the world will not only beg for him to rise, but worship him as well when he delivers them from a war and financial distress. I see that day approaching rapidly. And the answer isn't by buying gold or stacking food. The answer is turning to the one and only true deliverer that can give you, even in the midst of all of this craziness, the peace that surpasses all understanding,
Amen.
The joy of your salvation,
Amen.
And the security of your eternal life with him.
Amen.
And remember, folks, before the evil one will rise and get into power, the saints will be taken out of the way. And I want to remind you, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day salvation.
Wow.
So let's remember that, folks. And I'm on my way to Chino Hills for the conference. Log online for Calvary Chapel Chino Hills YouTube and Facebook for the conference itself. But I want to tell you, folks, we're expecting a full house. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship and teaching of the word. But listen, stay tuned. Get Telegram. Follow me on my channel. I've got about 311,000 subscribers there. Don't follow other fake channels using my name. Again, look for the channel that has 311,000 subscribers and just click there and follow. And I'll keep you posted. Tons of stuff is about to unfold in the next few days, and I want you to stay posted. Hey, thank you. God bless you. And do we have the, yeah, let me put a video of how you can download. Oh, we don't have, okay. So basically, go to Telegram Messenger, get the app, download it, and get on my channel and stay informed, okay? Well, thank you. God bless you, and shalom from Southern California. And if you're coming to the Futures Conference, see you in just about an hour. God bless you.
God bless you. Goodbye. And may God bless their Futures Conference, which is actually happening right now as we speak, somewhere, wherever. He just said Chino Hills in California. Sounds like that might be a good place to be, Chino Hills. I don't know. Welcome, Sister Sunny. Good to have you with us tonight. Sister Phyllis K. Raymond, it's good to have you with us tonight. And then all of you that are joining us over here on YouTube, Brother Roger. Dave Billiards with us over there. Hi, Dave. God bless you, man. Love you. Are you coming up today, tonight? When are you coming? Hurry up and come now. I'm not in the truck this weekend. That way I can see you and hug your neck and put you to work. We'll see you soon, but I love you. Now, I want to say a couple things about this because if you're not careful, you'll be like, well, Pastor, you're just getting into all the sensationalism of it. But the reality is we've been praying now ever since the war in where is that war started? Romania. That's not where it was. Where is it? Anyways. Ukraine. We've been praying for this situation. You grew up in Chino Hills. Uh-oh. You even know where all the good restaurants are then. This situation in Russia is very severe. Because Russia's going to seem like, or Putin's going to seem like he knows it all and got it all. And you can't change the word of God. The bottom line in every part of your Christian life, you have got to look at your Christian life and say, I am walking with God, and I choose to believe his word above it all. See, if you're not, you're going through Iowa right now. If you don't view the word of God as the number one authority, infallible, inerrant, and spoken by God, then you'll believe another form of doctrine that is going to leave you sitting, and you're going to be wondering what in the world is going on, and you can't go there. This is too close to the end to be messing around with anything. And I'm really glad that he made it very clear like he did. Even though Putin's talking against the homosexuals and it's got to be one man and one woman and all the rest of that stuff. He's just doing that to get those people who are deceived to come and on his side. Well, this is one of those great deceptions of the last day. There was any restaurants there when I grew up. It was just dairies. Oh, you grew up in the dairy community. That's good. I didn't know they had happy cows or cows in California. Maybe that's where the happy cows were. Deception's going to be everywhere. And the reality is there's a whole lot of people that are not going to make it to the rapture, because they're going to give themselves in and just say, what's the use? Why fight this? Because if you don't fight it, it's going to take you over. It's going to take you over. And if you don't resist the devil, he won't flee. He'll keep shooting you with fiery darts until you surrender to him, just so he'll quit. Well, that's not surrender. I mean, that's not victory. That's surrender. And there's no victory and there's no answer. And so I ended up just letting him go because I'm like, you know what? This is a really good word. And the cool thing about Amir Sabati is he's not only telling you about what's actually happening on the earth right now as we speak, but he is also telling you what the word of God says prophetically from the Old Testament, prophetically from Jesus, the Apostle Paul, John. You and I can be solid, stable, faithful believers and truly grow up in the things of God. And I encourage you. I don't tell you to go, I don't tell you to go be a part of many websites, but I get all of Amir Safadi's updates from his Telegram, and I don't see him all. There's so many of them. He has a good team. He has a 24-hour-a-day team that is watching the news as it happens around the world. And you're not going to get any better news than where it's at. Now, you're going to get the real stuff because you're going to see, hi, Sunday, welcome. We really wanted you over here and Zoom with us. And thanks for coming over. And I say no weapon formed against your Zoom account can prosper. And you can still be with us in Jesus' mighty name. Watch for deception. It's going to be everywhere. And then the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things will choke the word if you let it. If you don't let it, it can't choke the word. But it's a decision you have to make in your own life and in your own heart. You have to make that decision. I will not allow the word to be choked in my life. And literally, well, I want us to turn there first of all tonight to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And that's going to be our launching verse tonight. And then we're going to talk about how much does it grieve God when his children sins. Much does it grieve God? Because there's a whole bunch of preachers, just like the priest that we just saw all through the history of Israel, who trained and taught God's people to sin. And God wiped them out. God destroyed them, people. How much does it grieve God when his children sin? Now, look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, let us go down to verse 19 and we're probably going to have to go all the way to verse 39 because I'm just no longer going to just read you one verse. It's too dangerous of an hour to just read one verse to you. You've got to get the context. 19 through 39. And we might find ourselves teaching more and more and more than what we're teaching right now because people's lives are at stake. And they're being deceived and to believe this garbage. And it's in our face everywhere we go. Anyways, here we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession tonight like we do all the time. Wait, let me get myself happening here like I need to. We'll make our confession together. I will get this down where it's all flowing smooth. Ready? Hold your Bible up. Make this confession. Say it right along with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making this word, his word, come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen, and amen, and amen. Now, here we go. So good to see you today. Glad you're with us. Going through Iowa right now on your way to North Dakota. How cool is that? Verse 19. Therefore, brother, thank you, Brother Osmond. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Having boldness to enter the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So what are we doing here? We are coming together and we're stirring up love and good works amongst ourselves and amongst each other. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the end, the more we must exhort one another to be faithful, walk diligently, have your eye on the sky, expect Jesus coming any day. Keep your heart ready. You want to point across the room at somebody and just tell them, keep your heart ready. Keep your heart Well, obviously the Holy Spirit is saying in the last days, that's going to be a challenge. Now look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Wow. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That is what happens to you when you sin willfully after you've come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this isn't a hellfire and brimstone message. I'm teaching this message on purpose. How much does it grieve God when his children sin? Well, look at what it just said. Trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, saying it doesn't have enough power to set you free, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repair, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, it's only fearful if you're just going to live like a pig and act like a sheep. Can I get an amen from anybody?
About the great amen.
The great amen. You can't act like a pig and be a sheep, because we're going to know you by your fruit. If you sin, we're going to call you a sinner. That's steal something at the store. What are you called?
Thief.
No, you're just called a Christian that's struggling with. You just have a struggle. No, see, you're called a thief. In the court of law, you're called a thief. And in the courtrooms of heaven, you're called a thief. Verse 32. Recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. Partly while you were made a spectacle by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you become companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in. If we're not careful, this message I'm preaching tonight becomes real heavy. But we don't need this message to become heavy. We need this message to point us to the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which makes this message light and easy, because that's who Jesus is. Now, the only part of this that makes this a tough message is when you and I say, well, it's no big deal if I sin. God doesn't really care. And, as long as my heart is... God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He called it deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God's exact words about you and my heart. So you can't hide behind that statement. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. It's wicked. Get born again and then come to the realization that your nature has been changed at the new birth. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. There are many people, many preachers, who will teach you a doctrine that says, well, it's really not all that serious. Some of them don't know. Some of them know very specifically, and they're teaching out of deception to build a large organization and get a bigger building and drive a nicer car and get more tithe in the offering bucket. But that is a wicked heart. Right here, you and I can see how what God thinks about it when we sin. Where is it? Verse number 29. Hold on. I got to set this verse out here. Because look at what this says. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy he who has trampled the Son of God under his foot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? This is the effect that our sin has on Jesus. Now, I know automatically people are like, wait a minute, Pastor. You're making me get real nervous. You should be. Until you understand righteousness and how you receive it and you become it, until you understand that, you're going to continually have this battle and this struggle on the inside. But you know what? Paul didn't write this. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews because he said right there, you came and met me when I was in chains. This epistle is written in a Pauline style. And I believe this is Paul. But Paul's not writing by Paul's own understanding and Paul's own way and Paul's own desire. Paul is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, trample the Son of God underfoot. Count the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Now, every single one of us, since we were born again, have sinned. Everybody, just hang on. We're going to go to a deeper place in this revelation on purpose so that we can come to a greater understanding of the Word of God. When we were born again, I pray our heart is not wicked. True, yeah. When you're born again, you're made a new creation. But that doesn't give us the ability, after we're born again, to look at God and say, well, I'm putting all the responsibility on you, God. You make me do it. And if you want it done, you'll make me do it. And if not, then you didn't want it done. No, that is not the Christian life. You and I have to take ourselves, and we must, in our own self, get focused on walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. The just shall live by faith, which is you speaking to that mountain and telling it to be removed, and it'll be removed. Now, let's look at the born-again experience Mary's talking about, and let's just nail that down right here real quick. I'm going to read a lot of verses tonight. I don't want to preach Pastor Sam's message. I want to give you the holy, living Word of God on this, so when this is done, you'll be able to say, hold it, according to the Word of God, this is the doctrine that I must believe. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read 15 through 21. Romans 5, 15 through 21. Now, we just saw the effect of our sin on Jesus there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, how you trample the Son of God. And the Son of God, you count the blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified a common thing. Now, I got a word for you. In the day we live, until you get this revelation of the righteousness of God, you're going to have listened to enough preachers that said, oh, don't worry about it. If you sin, don't worry about it. God still loves you. Well, he does love you, but you need to get very concerned if you are still sinning all the time after you've been born again. Did you really get born again? And I believe you did. But do you understand the free gift of righteousness and that God has given you his righteousness and made you into his righteousness? Because, see, until you get that revelation, you're going to be of those that are just like, well, Pastor, nobody can be perfect. Well, I'll be like Brother Jesse. Well, according to the word of God, Jesus said to us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Well, that being said, you and I got to look at it and say, I better come to a whole new revelation of God, because in Ephesians chapter 4 it says that we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ to a perfect man. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. God wants us to be perfect just like him. You have received his nature. And you were born again. You were born into the family of God, and you now have his nature. You are not divinity, God sitting on the throne. You are divinity's child. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. See, the Bible's very clear on it. Who's not clear are the people who really don't want to get away from their sin, want a preacher, even a big name preacher, to tell them that it's all right if they still sin.
And Romans what?
Romans 8, 14 through 17.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Where did I say we were going? I hold on just a second here. I want to copy this verse. Copied this verse because I wanted to paste it over here so that people could see it. Oh, too many letters. Oh, Jesus. Let me see here. Give me just a second. I'm going to get this down to where I can post this. Not worthy. There you go. And I still got a couple more letters to go. There we go. Almost there. They only let you have so many characters on YouTube. I did it. How much more worse punishment will he who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, any of you who listen to this in the future, make sure you put a timestamp in the notes on each one of these verses. It really helps everybody who's coming to get a good revelation of who God is and how his kingdom works. Here we go. Yes, that's very true. And the most important word you just said, Mary, is, and if you sin. Now, let's read this verses in Romans 5, and then we'll get that if you sin verse in 1 John. Here we go. Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift by the grace and the free gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. Now watch. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification, just as if you never sinned. 17. If by one man's offense death reigned, sin produces death. Somebody type that in there. Just type it right in. Sin produces death. And people's like, wow, but my sin isn't really a bad sin, Pastor. I'm not sinning the bad sins. I'm just not being careful. You're stuttering. And the reason you're stuttering is you're making excuse for sin. Now watch this. Hold your place in Romans chapter 5. We'll be right back there. But I want to add another verse here. James 1, 12 through 18. Blessed James 1. Thank you, Sunday. Thank you. James 1, 12 through 18. Sin produces death. Watch it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin produces death. Now, let's break down the word sin for a minute, because there's a whole lot of people that consider if you drink too many cups of coffee, that's a sin. That may not be wisdom, but you didn't sin against the grace of God, against the blood of Jesus, against the Holy Spirit. No, just keep going, Mary. You're doing good. See, to act as though sin is not a big deal, it's going to put you on the wrong side of things if Jesus shows up. Because he's coming back for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or without any other blemish. Well, see, there's only one way that can happen to you. And that is that you've received this free gift of righteousness I'm talking about in Romans chapter 5. It's the only way. You've got to receive the free gift of righteousness. And then you've got to get your mind renewed to the Word of God, the actual Word of God, about sin and about righteousness. Because when you understand righteousness, there will be no desire inside of you to have any sin in your life anywhere. You won't even want to be close to sin, because it will affect the wonderful relationship of righteousness that Jesus gave you and made you into, and it will tarnish the beauty of Jesus' gift to you. Your battle is not in whether or not I can sin or not sin and just trying your hard best, but I'm still sinning. I'm trying. No, trying. You'll never be able to do it in your own strength. You've got to understand Jesus' righteousness. When you understand the righteousness he gave you, you will become so pure on the inside that all of a sudden there won't be I'm coming up with a Dr. Seuss word. Any laxness, any relaxed mentality, understanding about sin in your life. It'll be tight. Because you realize the greatest gift I could ever receive is Jesus gave me his righteousness, that he paid such a severe price for. He was, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our, the chastisement for our peace, so we can have peace with God, was laid on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. See, if it's no big deal, then why did the Father cause Jesus to suffer such severe punishment and cause him to have to go all the way to hell? Why? Because that's how severe sin is. Even the smallest amount. Sin produces death. Every sin produces death. Now, the problem you and I face in the day that we live is there's been so many hellfire and brimstone. If you don't pay your tithe, you're going to hell. You don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. You miss one church service, you're going to hell. And they were so hellfire and brimstone focused in their message that they never led us into the paths of righteousness for Jesus' namesake. So you and I have in the back of our mind hellfire and brimstone preachers talking about this weird thing of righteousness is what you wear and how you act, and there's a list of do's and don'ts. No. Jesus was righteous. Jesus was righteous. Jesus did not sin. Jesus carried all the sin and sickness of this world. Every vile thing. He carried it on his body to hell where it belonged. He paid the price for sin. He suffered all of that. So you and I, by accepting the free gift of righteousness, could have his righteousness in us. See, once that happens, your nature is made new. And you don't have that old nature anymore. You may have been born again. But if no one has ever taught you this next level of the foundation doctrines of faith, you might look at me and say, you're off, preacher. Well, I got a word for it. If you open up your Bible, hold on. I don't remember the exact number, but I want to know. If you open up your Bible right now and your Bible app right now, and you search the word sin, okay? And you search it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. In your King James or New King James Bible, you will see that 393 times the word sin is used. And if you will study all 393 times of that word, you will know exactly God's opinion on sin. Exactly God's opinion on sin. And we just read the whole Old Testament on Read the Word. And there is no question in my mind, because of the word God just read, that believers who sin are very, very specifically endangering their lives of missing the rapture. Endangering their lives of missing the rapture. Because God said, soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Holy Spirit said all the way through the epistles that anyone who commits this act will not see God. That's anyone. There's not a clause in there who once said the sinner's prayer. Anyone who commits these acts will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going all the way back now to Romans chapter 5, because we're still talking about the free gift of righteousness. Now, you might say, hey, Pastor, this feels a little heavy. Well, what you'll find is going on here is God by the Holy. How can we not be thankful for Jesus? Amen, Mary. We are very thankful. God, by his Holy Spirit, this week, had somebody ask me a question. That was great. And they're getting it, man. I'm so impressed with this person's study and what they're saying. I mean, I'm like seriously impressed with this person's study. I'll keep my mouth shut so I don't expose who people are. But anyways, and if you're with us tonight and you want to say, hey, it's me, that's up to you. I just don't do it. But watch this. It caused me once again to say, wait a minute. This is one of those doctrines that we got to revisit about every 61 or 62 days. I'm not sure if it's 61 or 62, but we got to continually come to this doctrine, because so many people are being trained today by the pastors in churches. All you got to do is get saved. That's all that's important. Nothing else matters. Once you're saved, you're in the kingdom. And it doesn't matter what happens after that. When the trumpet blows, you're going in that with in the bride of Christ, and that's not, or in the gathering together of the church. And that's not the case. There's going to be a lot of people who did pray a sinner's prayer, but who never went on to perfection. And the Holy Spirit led them, and the Holy Spirit checked them, and the Holy Spirit talked to them, and they put it away because that preacher said I could, and they put that aside because that preacher said I could, and they put that aside because that preacher said that's all right. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, every struggle I've ever had in my Christian life was because there was a preacher somewhere in my life that said that, or that is okay. Well, it's not okay, but you know, if it happens, just as long as it doesn't happen too much. Well, wait a minute. What's too much? And who has the rule of too much? And as soon as you make that statement, as long as it's not too much, You're giving license to sin. And you're the preacher. And Jesus said, if you cause even one of these little ones to go astray by your teaching, it would be better for you to have a heavy rock and a short pier and a long walk in deep water. And you cannot take that chance. Now, is God full of mercy? Yeah. Because he knows that God, this is why you got to walk with the Father every day. He knows every single one of those people who spoke a word to you that caused you to believe this action, although you know it's sin, well, it isn't that big of a sin. Well, quit worrying about sin. Get focused on the righteousness. Because when you focus on Jesus' righteousness and you realize the glory and the beauty and the power and the strength of his righteousness, and you realize he gave it to you as a gift, and you'll never have to surrender to sin another day. You'll never sin another day. All of a sudden, it's not about whether or not I'm sinning. It's about whether or not I'm protecting the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that I was given as a gift. And as soon as you start to get close to it, you're like, no, I'm not going there. No. I've been given the most precious gift that could be given. You can't do anything to get this gift except reach your hands out and receive it. And it is righteousness that Jesus paid with 33 and a half years of his life, with the most brutal death that there could be. And he suffered. And then his last words, the greatest act of faith, because he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was he doing? He was clearing his heart of any offense, because the moment he closed his eyes, he was going to be in hell. And the only way he could get back out of hell to give us the righteousness of God was that he was sin-free when he hit hell. And he was. He was the spotless, innocent lamb. The innocent have to die that the guilty might be made free. And Jesus stood there in hell and nailed the devil to the tree, nailed every bit of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us to the tree, taking it out of the way. So when he came back to this earth, he could offer you and I his righteousness. Not only did his blood wash you and make you white as snow, the free gift of righteousness was given to you. Free gift. It's the most beautiful. Say again?
Romans 5 what?
I'm in Romans 5, 15 through 21. And we're down to about verse number 17. The free gift of righteousness is the most amazing gift that you could ever receive in all of your life. It's not just, I got born again, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's what we teach our children. That's good. We're teaching them right. We're giving them the foundation step. But now we got to teach them at that age to begin to walk with God and hear his voice. And then remember the song we sang in children's church? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hand, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. We're not doing that to teach them to be afraid that everywhere they go, they're going to sin. We're teaching them. We got to teach them. You've been made righteous. And it is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. Can you imagine a child who's born again at 3 years old and understands who they are in God by time they're 5 or 6 or 7, and they never sin their whole life because at an early age they just caught the vision because mom and dad were walking with God? Oh, what a life that could be by time you were, 70, 80 years old. I'll give you an example of it. I one time had a chiropractor that I went to, and him and his wife were chiropractors together. They were both chiropractors, and they had a practice in West Branch, Michigan. Great people, just wonderful, wonderful people. Well, she had grown up in a chiropractor's home, and her dad and mom did not believe in having shots. They believed everything could be solved inside the body. The body would recreate itself. And I don't remember. She was probably, 40 years old when I met them. And she had never been sick. Not one day of her life. And she had never had a needle puncture her skin. And she had never taken a medication all of her life. She was the healthiest, strongest, most fired up, amazing, positive, I don't know whether they were Christians or not, wonderful people you have ever met. You see, at an early age, mom and dad said, this is how we're going to raise our kids. Can you imagine if we had the same opportunity with our children at an early age because we taught them these principles of God? They never would get into any of that. Why would they want to? Well, that's just wrong, Mary. That's just wrong. More religiosity, and nobody's. Let's say it this way. However you judge another person is exactly how God will judge you. So if that's the judgment they're going to give that person, then whatever. That's what happens. It ain't right, but if that's the rules and that's what's written in the bylaws, then that's what's going to happen. And it's wrong. And then people go away and go back. And that's what should happen to places like that. Verse 17. If Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace? You're not just getting a little dabble, do you? You're getting the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So you're having the abundance of grace. You're receiving all of Jesus' righteousness. Look at what it says. They will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. It will literally make you a reigning king under the Father. See, all of a sudden, we broke off all religiosity and denominationalism with that verse. Hold it. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness is going to cause me to reign as a king? Now we got to take three very serious subjects and get very deep in our understanding of them. Because there'll be a lot of people that'll say, well, that reign word, that's just for when you get to heaven. Oh, no, it's not. And stop over-translating these verses to all mean heaven. Leave them where they are on the page. Leave them in the context that they were written. And just realize, God didn't make any mistakes when he's talking. He's not confused. He is the Spirit of truth. Every word was written on purpose. Anybody else want to shout a big amen? This is the inerrant word of Almighty God.
The great amen.
The great amen. See, all of a sudden, it's no longer Oh, no. What if I sin? Oh, no. What if I sin? What if I sin? What if I sin? What if I sin? It's no longer that. Will never be there in your life again. From this point on, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness. That used to control me. It no longer controls me. And it don't matter what it is. You might not have committed the unpardonable sin of being a harlot or a homosexual, the worst sins in the whole world. No, they're not. They're sin. And like Sister Sunday wrote, sin is sin is sin is sin. If you steal a pen at work, you're no different than the man that steals a car down at the car lot. You're a thief. No, see, all of a sudden, you got to change your focus from, oh, I don't want to sin, I don't want to sin, I don't want to sin. I know I'm going to sin. And that same sin that you always enjoyed, it's coming and you're like, I know I want to sin. I know I'm going to sin. I just like that. I just like that. Well, then you tell God, I don't know what's wrong with me, God. I just like that. You're being drawn away of your own lust. And that sin is going to take you out. You're going to trample underfoot the blood of Jesus and the abundance of the grace that he gave to you. Don't be focused on the sin. Be focused on his righteousness. You see, all of a sudden what we got to come to is, wait, do I really want Jesus and his righteousness, or do I really want a life of sin? It says you understand righteousness, you'll never have a desire for sin again, because it's so beautiful and it's so holy and it's so powerful. It's so powerful to deliver you that there'll never be a desire again for sin. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm just not there yet. I know. Guess what? It took me 20 years of preaching to get there, to get to the revelation where I'm at right now. It took me 20 years of preaching. Well, if it took you that long, I'll never get it. Oh, no, you can get it real quick. But what you got to do is you got to get on that one subject, and you got to get every verse out of this Bible, and you got to study them and read them out loud and speak them until they register deep inside of you as revelation. And then all of a sudden, it makes sense. That's what happened to me. I just got determined. I said, it was like 2014 or 15. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to figure out what this is right here. And I spent every day studying it. Well, my understanding was so covered up by religion and religiosity that I continually waded through it. And I would read the verses and I would hear people preach about it and I would see their answers and it'd be like, I'm getting this right now. I know the truth. It sets me free. I know the truth. It sets me free. I know the truth. It sets me free. And then that man went one day after he showed up at our church and preached at my church in West Branch. I said, you know, you said a phrase during your message. I don't know what it means. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah, you got a minute, don't you? He goes, yeah, what is it? I said, the righteousness of faith. And he looked at me like, I'm going to punch you in the face, boy, if you don't know what that is. I'm like, you really don't know that? I'm like, no. He said, well, how in the world can you be a preacher for 20 years and not know what that is? I'm like, well, I don't know, man. I love God. I'm chasing him with all my heart. I don't want nothing but to walk with God. I don't know what that means. So I've missed a class somewhere. He goes, sit down. We were right by the front pew of the campground there. He's like, sit down. So I sat down. I'm like, all right, show me. He goes, do you know where Paul said that about you're going to receive the free gift of righteousness? I'm like, yeah. And how Paul said, all of these things, I counted them as nothing. Yeah. He said, he called that the righteousness of faith. Yeah, okay. He goes, you can never be good enough to be righteous. I'm like, what? He goes, you'll never be good enough to be right. And I'm looking at him like, what's your deal, buddy? And he's a really good friend of mine. And I'm like, all right. He said, so when you receive Jesus' righteousness and function in it, you will always be righteousness. You will always be righteous enough. And I said, all I have to do is receive his righteousness? He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, I receive it. And phew, it just washed all over me. He goes, well, weren't you born again? I'm like, yeah, I'm born again. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've received him in my life. But see, religiosity had that doctrine all covered up in my life. And I couldn't see that I had to receive the free gift of righteousness to win over sin. And the biggest sin in my life was religiosity. The spirit of religion controlling me. Pastor, that's a sin? Yeah. Yeah. Because it'll cause you to be judgmental. It'll cause you to hate people. And you'll have to fight hate and judgmentalism all the time. And you're like, why is this in my life? And you'll wrestle with it. And the devil will send another offense at you. And then you got to deal with that one. And then he sends another offense at you. And you got to deal with that one. And you all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm just fighting. Why am I fighting this? And from that moment on, I had the understanding that I receive righteousness as a gift from Jesus and his righteousness. And I get to wear his righteousness as a robe. Remember when the prodigal came home, what did the father say? Bring him out a robe. What was it? It was the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness is the robe of our reigning as a king under the King of Kings, Jesus, and the God of all gods, our Father. That is our royal robe. And that's what Jesus gave to the son who came home and said, I'm not even worthy to be a slave, a servant. And Jesus said, no, you are a son. Bring him the shoes. Servants didn't have shoes. Bring him the ring. Servants didn't have the ring. Bring him the robe. What is it? The robe of righteousness that covered every sin he had committed when he was out there squandering his inheritance that he was given by the Father. And in one act, Father wrapped that robe around him and it was wiped away. Not his own righteousness, because your righteousness will never be good enough. But when you receive Jesus' righteousness, I mean, look at it. It's in verse 17. How much more, and Romans 5:17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Jesus' righteousness is your gift. You will reign in life. It will literally cause you to begin to reign in life. Why? Because now you've mastered sin. God can't use you out in front of people if you're going to sin. He can't use you. Because you'll get up there and you'll fall and there'll be 1,000 people that'll never walk with God because you fell. No, he's got to have you, and God's used many people who have fallen. So let me change my statement. If you have fallen, you stand back up and get in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody give me a big, great big amen and say, y'all come back now, you hear?
Y'all come back now, you hear? The great amen.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Now, Roger, I like it when you said it. It's a little more authentic when Sister Phyllis says it.
Well, I can't help it. I'm not, even though I spent months down there.
We just don't have that southern drawl, do we?
No, I think it's called southern twang.
I didn't say twang, Phyllis. I said drawl.
It's a compliment either way.
Either way. Love you guys. Now, think about this. God, I'm going to lay it out again, Mary. The whole purpose of this message is to lay righteousness out in so many different avenues that you're going to be able to see it tonight. Let's read another verse. Wait, let's do this. I got to finish these three verses. 18. As one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification. Resulting in justification. Now watch. 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Say this, I am made righteous. See, we want to be righteous, but you don't get to be by your actions righteous, because it's a free gift. If it wasn't a free gift, man would boast about it. So it's a free gift. That way nobody can brag about it. That way we're all in the same playing field. You didn't get your righteousness by anything else except the way I got it. It don't matter what Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin, J.C. Price, Chuck Swindoll, Charles, I don't care who your hero is. They didn't get righteous by any other way except how we did it. And that is by receiving it as a gift. That's why you hear me when we pray the communion, pray, say, I receive all of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. It's a gift. You're receiving it and you're wearing it like a robe that covers every sin, and it totally wipes them away by his blood. 20, the law entered that the offense abound. Don't worry about that. Get the next phrase. Where sin abounded, grace, and you could add there, and Jesus' righteousness much more abounded. So then, sin reigns in death. Grace reigns through righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. Now watch. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's read verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, your own strength and righteousness, but by the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, say it, I am living in Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Say it. I've been made free.
I've been made free.
You've been made free. Now, Romans, no, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Well, now let's read 17 through 21, and I'll read 17 and then 21. just put them all in there. Thank you, Sunday. You're doing a great job. Thank you for putting those verses in. Romans, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and then I'm going to read 17 and 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how are you in Christ? By being born again and receiving him into your life. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the child of God. Now watch. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That process, when you become in Christ, wipes away your past. The blood takes care of every sin. They're thrown into the sea of your forgetfulness. And it's in one act because you have received the free gift of righteousness. All things have become new. Now go to 21. For he, God, that he is God, made him Jesus, who knew no sin. Say it. Jesus did not sin.
Jesus did not sin.
He did not sin. To become sin. And literally, the better translation is to become the sin sacrifice.
Jesus became the sin sacrifice of all of us.
Of all of us. Now get the next phrase. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. When you're born again, you are made into the righteousness of God. Look at the verse. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. That him is Jesus. When you're born again, you literally are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Still a sinner. Born again, but new things pop out.
Don't hang up. Stay here with us. Wait a minute. We got to get this. Whatever you do, don't hang up. Stay here with us. You don't have to talk, but stay here with us. Now watch this. Pastor, why do I still sin? Because you don't understand the righteousness and what it does. Do not get discouraged. The blood of Jesus is there every single day for us until we get this revelation. Now, let me take you to two places to show you the process. Romans chapter 12. And the church didn't teach us this. The majority of the body of Christ and the Western world does not believe this doctrine. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, Pastor, you just told me in my own strength, I can't be holy. You're right. So how do you present yourself holy to him? Except that you say, Jesus, I present myself to you with your righteousness you gave me when I was born again, and you made me into your righteousness. I literally say that to him every single day, many times in one day. Why? Because I realize it's not my righteousness. It's not how hard I try not to sin. It is that free gift of Jesus' perfect righteousness that is working inside of me, that's causing me to humble myself immediately and say, hold it, that's sin. I am getting anywhere close to that. Because if you see something coming, you're like, oh, no, I'm going to sin. I don't want to sin, Jesus. And then something happens and poof, you blow off your mouth. And now you're like, oh, my Lord Jesus, I sinned. Now watch. When you see that thing coming, if you see the lion in the street, prepare yourself. Shut the door. Wait a minute. Pause. Jesus, I stand in your righteousness right now, and I have presented myself to you a living sacrifice, and I reach out now and receive your righteousness, which is perfect and holy. And I know I got that robe on me right now, and I am righteous. And you know what you'll learn to do? You'll learn to zip your lip. Why? Because there's no way you're going to violate this beautiful righteousness that God gave to you through Jesus' blood. Go ahead.
I really need to have my lip zipped sometimes. That's the hard part for me.
Yeah, but that's a hard part for all of us, Mary. It is. It's a hard part for me. I'll just be open and transparent with you. It's a hard part for me.
I can't hardly be quiet about the fact that a pastor would tell someone, you're not worthy to be in my church.
Well, but that's because it's not, that man's action is a worse sin than you opening your mouth and saying it against someone. So his sin is worse than mine, so I'll go ahead and say mine because his sin is worse. And that's just an indoctrination by the spirit of religion. And we got to realize, wait a minute, I'm going to go to hell as fast as he does because I opened my mouth and said it.
But the Bible says, touch not my anointed.
So don't say
it. How do you tell a pastor? Jesus wouldn't turn somebody away.
Well, that's all you say. Jesus wouldn't turn somebody away. But when you go away, you don't tell other people.
Touch not my apostle. And that means don't bring a weapon against him to destroy him or anything
right.
like that. If you're giving him good advice, honey, you're not doing him any harm.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to say it, Phyllis, because If you're standing there and the pastor says something like that, you can either just stay away from church and think about what you did. Excuse me, sir, but you don't understand the Bible. And then you can, because what you're doing then is you're like, you're confronting that is a wrong doctrine. But now where you're challenged is, the challenge isn't standing there saying the right words. The challenge is when you walk away that you don't build an attack team against him because that is a greater sin. That's like Phyllis just said. Say it again, Phyllis. You said you don't use it as a weapon against him. How'd you say that?
Oh, attacking somebody, like forming a weapon against them to destroy them, that is what it means. Don't... bring any harm to my
anointed,
yeah. But if you're just going to give him some good advice that's going to save his soul, you're not doing anything to hurt him.
No. And many times we've seen in American history that that's what's been wrong with the church, is the pastor was put up on such of a high elevation that nobody could say, wait a minute, why did you just say that? And maybe that's the better way to say, wait, Pastor, why'd you say that? But that's not the challenge. The challenge isn't on that spot asking the question. The challenge is going away and thinking that you are empowered by God to say something to another person about what happened. That is not God. That is a sin.
So it's okay to go directly to them.
Certainly.
And say, "Man, I forgive you for telling my sister that she needs to take time off the church." And she did. And she not only took herself, but she took her granddaughter, her daughter-in-law.
Yeah. The whole thing just keeps going. But what you have to make sure you do is you have to realize, wait, the verse that says touch not my anointed means not standing. It's not about the time when you're standing in front of him saying, "Pastor, why did you do that?" More than pointing him out and saying you're wrong is to say, "Wait, why did you say that?" Let him talk. And if he's wrong, then it's not your place to rebuke him. It's your place to say, "I don't see that in the Bible." When you walk away, it's when you got to keep your mouth shut. So you are not building, like Phyllis said, so you are not building a weapon against him, because he's not your servant. He's God's. And
so is it wrong to tell you about what?
No. No, because you're coming to your spiritual leader to get wisdom. We're doing it here publicly. We've not said anybody's name. Nobody knows who you're talking about unless you start saying names. We're just talking about an inference situation, and I am defending that the pastor might have a good reason why he says it. Now listen, it's probably in the church denominational books, and he has to say that. And that being the case, what you now have the decision of is, did God lead me here, or is this the closest building I could come to, and I'm here, Father God, where do you want me to be? If he tells you to go, you don't go building a bandwagon of people and taking them away from that church, because that is a major sin in the church world. When you do that on purpose to undermine the authority of a pastor, if you do that in the United States military during combat, the officer can shoot you on the spot for that.
So is there anything in the Bible that says you cannot be on the platform if you're not perfect?
No. No.
Honey, that ain't nobody perfect. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, you're at church, so you got humans, and until we all get our mind renewed, which is the verse I'm trying to read, we all get our minds renewed to the Word of God. Nobody's going to be perfect, but that's why I'm saying this to you. I'm not just saying this to Mary. Let me take this off of Mary's situation. Put it out there for everybody, no matter what church you go to, because I'm not a pastor that's going to say, "Oh, you all leave your church and come follow me." When you stand before Jesus, having done that, you may not get into heaven. I'm not going there. So let me put it down into some very simple terms for you. Those church denominational doctrine books may tell him that's what he must do. That may be the reprimand process for someone caught smoking a cigarette who was on the worship team. Now, we're going to set the playing stage fair here. If you have agreed to a set of rules, that position in the church says this is how you will act, and you don't, then you should expect that that organization is going to act exactly as they said. And they're not wrong for it. Because if you agreed to that set of bylaws, rules, regulations, then there's nothing you can say. Jesus taught that over and over through his ministry. Wait, you agreed to do this. Why are you complaining? So I don't know that situation. I don't know any situation. I know this. I've had 50 pastors who sent people to me to get married. And I'm like, well, why didn't you marry him? Because our denomination will not allow me to marry them because they've been divorced before.
Oh, yeah.
So, but here's the thing. If he was led to that church by God, he might be the guy to fix it. But he still has to abide by the rules he said he would adhere to when he joined that organization. So you can't try, convict, be the judge, the jury, and the hangman on somebody like that unless you know all those details. That's why when you walk away, keep your mouth shut because you don't know the story. You have to. Because as soon as you walk away and say something to another person, you committed a worse sin. Somebody help me. What's that word? It's not
gossip.
Say again. Well, right, that's gossip, but
bearing, troublemaking.
But there's a
different way to say it.
Sedition. Sedition is the word I'm looking for. And what is it? Sedition is undermining the authority on purpose to make them fall. And in the United States military, if you do that during the commanding officer can shoot you on spot. That's how serious in God sedition is. That's why these Facebook pages and YouTube pages that are calling out all these preachers and they're doing it in a public place, they're heaping up to themselves damnation. Because they're not prophets, they're not apostles, they're not the spiritual leader of those people. They are a person with a YouTube page that says, I bet if I make a video against that guy, I'm going to get a bunch of followers. And they won't admit it, but they're getting so many clicks that they're actually getting paid by YouTube to have that channel and cause sedition against God's leaders. And they're literally making money, like $2,000 to $10,000 a month to be seditious, cause sedition to happen to God's leaders. That's vile. That's wicked. That's perverse. They will not have an entrance to heaven. They will not have an entrance to heaven if they don't change. And I'm going to tell you, don't be going to their sites because that spirit will get on you if you sit and watch their videos. It is vile, it is wicked, and it is not of God.
My problem is when these situations come before me, I don't know if I'm doing right or doing wrong because I just don't know. Should I say something or shouldn't I say something?
Well,
you know, is God, did God put me here to say something because what that was absolutely wrong? Or should I just be here and shut my mouth and know God tested me and I passed the test? I don't know.
Well, it's not God testing you, and it's always okay to ask a question. It's always okay to ask a question. Even if the question gets you kicked out, it's always okay to ask a question, all right?
Okay.
But how you ask it and how you talk to that leader, where you're deficient in this is you need to read Romans chapter 13 and 14 through about 5 or 6 times together in a row right out loud because the word of God is very plain, very, very, very plain on this subject. The word of God is not confusing on this subject at all. When those men spoke against Moses, not only did those men go to hell, they took 20,000 people to hell with them immediately. God does not play with people who speaks against his leaders.
Romans what?
Romans chapter 13 and 14 both of those chapters deal with the governing authorities and how to deal with your Christian brothers.
How do you know that they are governing authorities? Maybe they're...
Well, it doesn't matter if you agree with the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholics, or the Episcopal. If that man has been installed in a position as a pastor, he's a governing authority. And he must keep order in his house by God. And when you challenge that authority, you're out of order. That's the Bible.
My mouth shut.
It's never wrong to ask a question unless the question is designed to diminish the level of authority that person has, because that's the spirit of sedition, which will always be the spirit of Jezebel. That's Romans chapter 13 and Romans chapter 14. I'm glad you guys asked for the chapter over and over, because when we get into these conversations like this, I start burning right down the road, and I can put a lot of verses out, but I want you to have these verses, because there's a whole bunch of the church that doesn't believe it's a sin to attack a pastor, and it's a severe sin with our God, even if he's wrong. Remember when we studied the bait of Satan with John Bevere, and he talked about in the one lesson, even when you have a harsh leader? David had the most harsh leader in the world, Saul. He was trying to kill him. That's a harsh leader. But David is the one who said, I will not touch God's anointed. And when the man came to David bragging that he had killed Saul, David said to his man, kill him immediately. He's bragging about killing God's anointed. And they killed him on the spot.
My soul is telling me that my heart is in the right place, that I'm not educated enough to take on the issue.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you go after that pastor, whoever he is, if you go after him, you're out of order. Because you're not an authority in his life. You're just not. Wait, I can't go after him. I'm not an authority in his life. Is it a denominational church? Don't say the name of it. Is it a denominational church?
Well, yeah.
So it's part of an organization?
Well, yeah.
Well, the only people on that can do that to that man is the people in that organization. The rest of you are out of order. The only thing that anybody can do in that situation is ask God, do I stay here or do I go? Because you're not the authority in that person's life, and God takes spiritual authority very, very, very seriously. Very seriously.
My spirit says my heart's in the right place, that I'm educated enough to adjust this on my own. Okay.
I didn't buy it. Well, and wait. I just showed you two chapters that when you read them out loud together, you'll see it, what God is saying. And if you miss it the first time, do it again. Now, I got a word for it. Do it until you get it. Because this is one of those sins in America that I truly believe is going to cause some people to not make heaven who've been in church many years of their life. All right. I have a Missourite with me tonight that said, how about you prove that, Pastor? Okay, I will. I will prove it. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Watch this. Let's go down to 16 through 26. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, that second Spirit, those two words, spirits, are not supposed to be capitalized. I don't know why they are in my Bible. That's the human spirit, and that shouldn't be capitalized. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now watch this. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery. Does anybody have any question that adultery is a work of the flesh? No. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Nobody on the earth, no, nobody has a question whether those are wrong and they're a work of the flesh. But now look at where we're going. Contentions are a work of the flesh. Jealousy is a work of the flesh. And there's all kinds of people in the church that is the worship leader is jealous of the guy that's teaching on the pulpit, and the guy that's on the platform wishes he could be the word. And they get jealous of each other. And it doesn't matter if you're jealous in a bar or jealous in church, you're jealous. And if you don't get your heart right, you'll miss heaven. Keep reading. Outburst of wrath. It's a work of the flesh. Selfish ambitions. It's a work of the flesh. Dissension. That's what we're talking about right here. We've been talking about is dissension. Starting to build dissension is a work of the flesh. Heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot take those verses out of your Bible. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Of God. Pastor, I'm going to stay home and hide in my closet so I don't do any of those. No, you just got to get an understanding of righteousness, because that righteous robe, as you're wearing it, will say, don't say that, shut up, walk away. You'll hear this Holy Spirit say, who are you to tell this man what to do? Oh, yeah, you're right. And you'll walk away. You'll walk away. As you guys can tell, I'm not out in the truck driving truck. I don't do business that way. I gave some suggestions, said some things, and I have nothing else to do except, no, I don't do business that way. You might, that's fine. If you do business that way, that's yours. Well, matter of fact, he's been in business for 15 years, so he's doing business that way, that's fine. I don't do business that way. I only have one choice. Leave. Immediately, when I called and said, I'm resigning my position, there's two people that said to me, what's going on? And I said, I don't do business that way. So I have to go somewhere else. The words I ever said. Didn't speak the man down. Didn't cause dissension. Didn't do anything to take anybody out of there. Just said, on my life, that's not how I do business, and leave. Why? Because these two chapters, 13 and 14, are riveted down on the inner depths of my soul from Brother John Bevere. And I will not do that. And I've had many times in my life where I really struggled with it, because the people were very wrong. Got a meeting with a man once and said, you're either the most vile person I've ever met, or you're just too stupid to know what you're even doing. And he said, well, like punching me in the face. I'm like, well, wait a minute, dude. Why are you doing this? I don't even think you realize what you're doing. He goes, I don't. I shared it with him. Showed him. 3 weeks later, he closed his business. Why? He knew he was doing wrong. But I didn't go to everybody else and say it. But it was a challenge. Why? Because we feel justified. Well, you ain't ever justified to tear another person down. Never. That comes under outbursts of wrath, jealousy, contention, dissension. Those are the works of the flesh. And Jesus said, or the Holy Spirit spoke right here and said, anyone who does, how do you say it? That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. I'll slow down. James 3, 13 through 18. James 3, 13 through 18. Look at this says in 14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, bitter envy, and self-seeking, James, by the Holy Spirit, calls it wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So, if your heart is filled with bitter envy and self-seeking, that's a work of the flesh, you do not get to see the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 21, 22. Revelation 22, 14. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 15. Outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. You do not get into heaven if those sins are happening in your life. Yeah, but Pastor, I was born again, so those sins don't matter anymore. You don't have one verse in your Bible that says that. That was 14 and 15, Sunday. Thank you for putting that in there. As a matter of fact, let me just read one more set of verses here. Remember, I'm not down on anybody for sin. I'm simply making this statement tonight. If you're still battling with sin, it's because you don't understand righteousness. It's not because you're not trying hard enough. Trying hard enough will never overcome sin. I know some people are like, I give up. No. Well, yeah, give up and accept his righteousness. Overcoming sin is never about how hard you try. It's about how much you understand the righteousness that you've been made into. See, there's a lot of people that's been made righteous when they're born again. But they were trained by people that says, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. There ain't a thing you can do about it. Everybody on the face of the earth is going to sin. You're just a human. You're imperfect. You'll never be perfect. Don't worry about it. Wrong, 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 and wrong. Read the Bible. When Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, your Father in heaven is perfect, he said it because it was possible. Or he's a liar and a deceiver. Those words are either important or they should not be in this book of truth. So when he said it, it means it's possible. Now we have to figure out how in the world is that possible. And it's possible because when you were born again, he made you into his righteousness. Now we got to get your mind renewed because it's been covered up with, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. Don't ever worry about it. There's no way you can ever be perfect. It's not true. That
wow,
statement is not true. What did you say, Mary?
I said, wow, that's deep.
Well, that's the deception level of that statement. Either Jesus lied in Matthew 5:48, or the Holy Spirit lied in Romans chapter 5 and 6. So which is it? Who lied? Nobody. There's no lie in this book. Zero. It matches itself from Genesis to Revelation. There's not one lie in this book because he is the spirit of truth. What we have to come to is we have to say, Jesus, show me every statement I make and live by that is absolutely doctrinally wrong. And then yeah. he'll begin to show you. And well, Sister Leanne and I saw one the other day. We were talking about something. I'm like, it came out of my mouth. I'm like, huh, well, look at there. I ain't never going to make that statement another day of my life. And all it was a religious indoctrination by preachers that I have listened to. And no, I'm not telling you their names. I'm not going to say after I've been teaching this, not to sin. Now watch. I want you to see something here. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Watch this. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, you can't make it any more clear than that. I didn't read that from the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostals, the Charismatic. I read that from nobody's book, right out of the book of the Bible. You can go to any translation and it's going to tell you the exact same words. And there's a whole bunch of preachers who are going to do their best to explain those two verses away and say, God didn't mean what he said very plainly. I want you to see something. In verse 1, there's only two-syllable words. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There's only two-syllable words. It's simple. But if the spirit of religion has been lifted up and you accept that the confused reality of you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't show me that in the Bible. You'll make that statement more important than this one. When this one was spoken by the Spirit of truth, straight from the Father's heart through the Apostle Paul, who was an excellent scribe. Chapter 6, this whole chapter is about being free from sin. You ready? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. You are a new creation, creation that never existed before.
Are we still in Romans 6?
We're in Romans 6. Yes, Roger. Thank you. I'm in verse 5. You're wonderful. You have to come and say hi to everybody. I have a wonderful, wonderful.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there, pretty lady.
Rebecca. Oh, Phyllis is still here. I thought you'd be sailing the ocean blue.
Phyllis decided to fly her jet back, and Phyllis has a jet. She flew back to see us just to be here with us tonight.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Roger. Hi, Sunday. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi to you, Sister Leanne. God's blessing to you.
God's blessings on you, too.
And she brought me a big glass of Dr. Pepper. Anointed.
Now I have to go high.
Anointed to the bone she is. Watch this. I'm in end of verse 4. I'm not going to preach this. I'm just going to read this because you want to hear it. We also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now watch, that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves of sin. This isn't hard to believe. We have to read this book and believe it over the doctrinal statements we've been taught by preachers who never read the Bible effectively. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Are you born again? You're a new creation. Old man passed away, everything become new. You're died, you're free from sin. It's just the Bible. Read it. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, and it no longer has dominion over you. That's a big one, isn't it? Wait, bring it here.
Did you show this?
I didn't show it.
Okay, I know the message is really important, but is this the hugest head of cabbage you've ever seen? Wow. That'll make some cabbage soup.
Yeah, I'll make some cabbage soup. I'm making relish right now. I started a big batch of relish today from my mom. God bless you, Mom. I love you. Keep reading. Verse 10. Death. For the death that he died to sin. Watch this. Once for all. But the life that he lives to God and for all of us. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It's not in you. It's a fiery dart coming at you. You are a new creation. Got to get this brain fixed. That you should obey his lust. 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not do that. Present yourself to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law. You're under grace. I just fixed a whole lot of erroneous teaching that came from pulpits of people who have never opened up this book and said, wait, what does the book say? Now, I'm going to say something. I don't want anybody to be offended. If you attend a Lutheran church that has not learned to stand on its own two feet, they are given a message to preach, and they have no choice but to preach it. So God is not in many Lutheran churches. I don't have anything against Lutheran people. There's a whole lot of them that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and flowing the gifts of the Spirit, speaking tongues, the whole Spirit-filled life. But do you know what happens? They have to leave if they're going to live that life. Because in many of the strains of the Lutheran church, they send that pastor the message that he has to preach. Well, anytime that happens, you're going to go astray. Because if you're not there in that building with those people, the Holy Spirit now does not have the ability to move based on who just walked the door, because you got to preach a message that a man in another city somewhere else gave you. The purpose of that is so everybody teaches the same thing, so the whole church believes the same thing. I understand the process. But if you don't let the Holy Spirit move, then it is going to die. I'm not against Lutheran churches. I believe that you should stand up in that denomination. You are a voting member. And change that thing so that it's no longer this way, so that you can minister to them. I've seen many men that were pastors in that church saying, I'm done. Can't be here. Won't be here. Going to go find a church where I can actually flow in the things of God and teach the word I'm supposed to teach. Now, I didn't belittle anybody. I didn't dissension anybody. I'm telling you, you got to be willing to change and grow. And there has to come a point where you and I look at our statements, and because of the righteousness of God on the inside of us, you and I look at ourselves and say, hold it. That thing I just said is out of order, and I will never say it again. But there's a lot of people who will never bring themselves to that point in their Christian life, and therefore they will not make heaven, because they will not cause themselves to change. If you won't grow, Jesus can't make you. If you won't confront that which is weak and that which is sin, then Jesus has to let you do what you want to do, because he can't force you to do anything. Remember this statement. I'm going to take a little time, because I want you to, if you will, Sunday, type this statement in to the notes. I want this in the notes. I want you to get this picture, said by one of the greatest missionaries of the world, Mr. Banoff, Georgian Banoff. He said, if death is the only point where we're truly free from sin, then Jesus isn't your Savior. Death is. If death is the only point when you're actually free from sin, then Jesus isn't your Savior. Death is. Say it again. There's a whole bunch of preachers that say, well, you're never going to be perfect on this earth. You won't be free from sin till you're in heaven. Then Jesus isn't your Savior. Death is, because death is what gives you access into the kingdom of heaven. All of a sudden, we got to get serious with ourselves and say, Jesus, help me see through this. Because Jesus is our Savior. And according to what we just read, he died that we could die. Our old man was crucified just like his was. And because we receive him, he willingly makes us a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus is your Savior. We read it earlier today. I want to say this because of what I just said. Wow. Today, if you will hear his voice, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. There it is, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, not death. The last enemy to be conquered is death. Want to shout it with me? I am free from sin.
I am free from sin. That subject could be taken another 4 hours in my mind.
Woo! I'll tell you what, Mary. We're just going to go ahead and we're going to go right into it next week. And that's going to be our subject all week long. We're going to just get in here and dig this out and dig it out and dig it out and dig it out. Just like the Father always has us do. Because,
I like that because Jesus is the only way into heaven. But yet with death, you go to heaven if you've accepted Jesus. So that's another 4 more hours. Mm-hmm. Right, Roger?
Ouch. You bet. 4 more hours.
Well, it won't be 4 more hours tonight, because if we don't hurry up, we're going to be here 4 hours already. But
that's okay.
Mary, what, Mary? What? My thoughts on the subject of the sermon tonight is, how did he put it? Do I really want Jesus and his righteousness, or do I want sin and death?
Yeah.
So that's the basic thing, and it's easy to answer. I want Jesus and his righteousness,
yeah.
And he'll take care of it.
Yeah.
I just won't bother with the messing around, because sin means that you wind up getting hurt. Jesus, God, just simply gave us good instructions as a loving father how to avoid getting hurt by sinning.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you belong to Christ and you feel with the Holy Spirit, But even though your body dies and turns to dust, you never die. Your soul is in joy forever with God.
I believe that.
Huh?
I do believe that. And your spirit lives on forever. I do believe that.
Yeah, but I don't want my spirit to live on forever with the devil sitting on my lap.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Now, and I want to say this one more time, and then we're going to receive communion. Communion is a perfect thing when we're done. Amen. See, there it is, Sunday. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. I want Jesus and his righteousness. Every one of you that are with us and are part of the community of faith, that's you. You want Jesus and his righteousness. I don't want any of you to think tonight that what I've been teaching is saying to any of you that you don't have salvation. If you've prayed the prayer of salvation and meant it from the depths of your heart, you are born again. What we've got to get fixed is not you born again. We got to get your mind renewed to the word and not to religiosity or religious thinking.
Amen.
You won't go to hell if Jesus comes today just because you still have some religious thinking in you. All right? So you're not going to hell. There will be some who miss the rapture because they've elevated man's thinking, man's doctrines above the ways of Christ. And there'll be many church people who will not make the rapture because of their divisions and their heresies and their seditions inside their church. They will not make the rapture. The Bible says it. If you do these things, you will not see the kingdom of God. Now, when they miss the rapture, they still have a choice. They still have a shot. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people on that. We've always said on the next day that's going to get right with God. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to be the next day. It's going to be within a matter of an hour of the revelation that hold everything. That was Jesus who just came in the clouds, and all those people that just left was the rapture, and I missed it. And there'll be a billion people that'll be born again in the next 1 minute after it happens, because they'll be like, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I did something to miss you taking me away, and the Holy Spirit of God will wash them, make them white as snow, and now they got a serious battle to fight. Mm-hmm. Serious battle to fight. That's why you guys are going to hear me say, until the day Jesus comes, I want you to be able to believe me, but challenge what I say by your Bible and your study and your home with your notebook and your pen, and figure out that what I'm telling you is true because you studied it. Get your Bible app and learn how to say, what does the word sin mean in the Bible? What did I tell you? 339 times the word sin is used in this Bible. If you go in your King James or New King James Bible and read every one of those verses out loud for understanding, when you get done, you will not have any mistake about sin. If you open up that same app and you study the word righteousness, when you get done reading just the verses with righteousness in it, you'll have a thorough understanding of righteousness. The same for love, the same for mercy, the same for grace, the same for hatred, the same for division, the same for heresy. It's not difficult in our day. It is, will you do the work? Because it's available. You don't even have to buy it. You can just go to the internet and search Bible Gateway, and it'll produce every one of these verses in the Bible for you. If you have an iPhone, you have zero excuse, because I showed you over and over and over and over how to use your eSword on your iPhone. And just so you know, I'll show you again.
Amen.
Until you get it. Because I want you to get it. And I want you to see it. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your own spiritual life is to learn how to pick up this book and study it. You might not like your app. You can get a Knaves Topical Bible. You can buy a Bible. And that Bible will give you subjects and give you all the verses. You can buy a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance book that will list absolutely every word that is written in this Bible. How many times it's written in there, including the A, ands, and thes. It's this thick. It's this tall. It's this wide. It's about that big. Cost you about $40. And you will not have to wonder, what does the Bible say? The problem with most people is they're more concerned about the Wheel of Fortune in Jeopardy than they are their spiritual relationship with Almighty God.
Yep.
And I don't have anything against anybody that's ever watched Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy at all. That's up to you. But I'm going to tell you something.
I miss Phyllis.
When you stand before Almighty God.
Hello, sweetheart.
When you stand before Almighty God, God is going to ask you what you did with this book. And since you know that, to not figure out what this book says is no different than squandering an inheritance or a 401k or something that you earned because you worked for somebody and just going out and gambling on the throw of a couple dice. It's no more. It's just as dangerous because it's your eternal life. My goodness. I've said this every way that it could be said. Let's receive communion in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And thank you, Mary. And thank you, Phyllis. And thank you, Sister Sunday and Brother Roger, all of your input. Brother Dave, you're with us. Did Juliana make it tonight? Juliana, Sister Brother Julian and Bamala, our dear friend Elaine Tefilla, and what's the lady over in Minnesota?
Nicole,
yes, Nicole, and our dear friend in Midland, Michigan.
Gail
Blunt, yep, and James Denny Jr. Ken.
I used to have a Saturday night Bible study back again.
Say again.
It was nice to have our Saturday night Bible study back again. It was nice. I liked it.
Amen. Well, according to my efforts, it's never left. But we have had to work through a little bit of circumstances to get here. But it's all right. We're here. And thank you for being here and being a part of it. Yeah. All of our friends who join us. Maxine McDowell and Sally Rice and Audrey Van Gessel, Donna Howie Schubeck. All y'all that we haven't seen in a while, all y'all show up. We're missing you. We're missing you. In Jesus' mighty name. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, love you guys. And thank you for everything you've been to help us get this work done. We certainly love you. Here we go. Let's receive communion. Yeah. And we take these elements. We are proclaiming that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we're receiving the work that Jesus did. There's nothing you can do to make yourself righteous. There's nothing. You have to receive Jesus' righteousness. I think tonight, with the listeners we have, we've turned a corner. I now need to divide this message up into about 10 8-minute segments. I think we got that many minutes here. We got to divide it up and break it up so that people can catch that one thought and be focused on it enough times to get it down inside of them and understand you'll never be good enough. And anything you do, receive his righteousness. And then you're perfect. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, now you're perfect. Here we go. If you've never received communion with us, I'm going to read the verses. Then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation, prayer of rededication. Give you about 2 minutes of instruction, bless the elements, and we'll receive it. That's how we do it here. May not be how you do it at your church, but that's all right. You do it like you do it there. We're going to do it like God has instructed us to do it. To take communion in Siberia and in Singapore. Two drastically different places on the face of this earth. And then I'd like to take it in the United Arab Emirates, in the UAE, where all them rich billionaires are, see how they take it, and take it in the jungle in South America. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. I'm really desperately trying to do communion. Would you like to do it? Then I will stop talking. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, his redemptive work for you and for me. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. This is the process. Examine yourself. And then pray to God. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected in us, in this, that we may have boldness. I love the boldness that has come from righteousness. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Almost should answer this. Love you, man. Call me back real quick if you're calling me from the Philippines. I'll answer it. If you forgot I was on the program, that's all right. If you're on the program with us, though, I want to talk to you. That was the Philippines. You read. I'm having trouble reading because I'm fired up about this.
Probably
it's what?
Thinking that you were done with the program.
Oh. As he is. As he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. I love this. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear. And the torment that goes with it. I bind you fear. I bind you torment. I bind you sorcery. You release the people that are watching this video, and you let them receive the things of God because they want
Amen.
Him. And I declare you're free right now, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me and has given me power over every force of darkness there is. And I stretch forth my hands boldly and say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Be thou made free. In Jesus' mighty name, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Woo! I done fell off the creek bed and down in the creek tonight. I can just keep going, but I can't. I got to get moving. Pray this prayer of salvation with us tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, here's your place where you're going to make your declaration. Say it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
Just for me.
Yes, for me.
Just for me and
put your hands up. Say
else.
It. I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you
into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Welcome to the family. You're probably saying right now, wow, what's going on the inside of me? It's amazing. It's just going on the inside of me right now, just praying it myself. I've been born again for 47 years. Why does that happen, Pastor? Because we just sat here and willingly said, fill me. And God loves it when you say that. And you mean that from the very depth of your being. He loves it. So he says, oh yeah, all of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled you. That is the force you now live by. Not by your actions, not by what you used to be, by what you just became right now. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things. And now you're new. You are a being that never existed before. Your spirit man, who you are, was in heaven. And God sent you down to this earth just like he sent Jesus to get a mission accomplished and to take your corner of the world and turn it over to him. Every single one of you. My sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. And he didn't say maybe. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I encourage you to begin saying that about yourself every single day. You might say, Pastor, how do I know how to become a Christian? Who's got the rules? No, there's one rule. That I might know him. That's your rule. Because as soon as you know him and you realize who he is, you don't have to worry about a rule, because he will guide you into the paths of righteousness. How cool is that? I love it. I don't have to give any rules. And I don't have to follow you around saying, naughty, naughty, naughty. No. You're not my servant. You're his. You're not my child. You belong to the Father. I am a teacher. I am a fivefold ministry leader. I have an anointing to help you see. But my anointing is to take you and show you Jesus and get you connected to the Father. And then what we are is we're locked arm in arm together in partnership, facing that enemy, crush, 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 conquering this world with the restraining order of heaven. And everyone we add to us, we get that much more done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, send me an email message, my email address right down there in the comments and in the notes of this program. Our website's there. I got 10 videos I'd like to send you that will help you learn to walk with God. I do. Got a whole playlist of them. And they're fun.
Amen.
They're fun and they're exciting, just like this one tonight. And I encourage you, just when this is done, you go to YouTube. And you hit that share button, and then you copy that link. And you put it somewhere where you can get it back out and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. Because this was a very good lesson tonight about righteousness. And it even starts out good with Amir Safadi saying, we are at the end, folks. We're at the end. And... You gotta just be walking with God. Here we go. You ready? Hold your items up. Woo! I asked Pastor one time, why do I preach so long? He said, because it feels good. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, it feels good. Yeah. So I'm thinking on the inside, preaching isn't about feeling, Pastor. But I didn't say it out loud. You don't ever say it out loud. He said, well, you feel good when you preach, don't you? I'm like, well, yeah. What are you going to say, no? Mm-hmm. He goes, it's your call. It's who you are. So naturally, as it flows out of you, you love it. He goes, you just got to learn how much can their butt endure, because their brain don't endure any more than their butt can.
Yeah, don't worry. Focus shift.
It's very deep and philosophical. You'll get it somewhere, 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll be like, oh, I get it. It wasn't even a good joke. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Let's bless our elements. Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace. Is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that your body was broken and give us access to be a part of it. And now the cup of blessing. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With my Father.
With my Father.
With my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
Forever in my life.
Forever in my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away. And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every day. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there is no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church, without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Don't you love that song?
Yes.
I love that song. That's been the desire of my heart my whole life. And I remember the first time I ever heard anybody sing that song. You ready? It was at an Amway convention.
Really?
Right? Watch.
My goodness.
That happened on Friday night, all day Saturday. Saturday night, they said, please stay all night and go to church with us. And I'm thinking, go to church with you? You people go to church? I mean, I go to church, but, you know, they were all weekend going, let's go, let's go, let's build a business, let's make money. And so the next morning, we get up, and I'm thinking, you know, there'll be 5 or 10 people there, you know. And it was in a big major hotel, so they're like, go to this room, and that's where it'll be. My goodness, you opened up the room, and there was seating in there for 400 people. And before they were done, there was 400 people in there. But I'd like to be underneath the spot where the glory comes out, so I always want to be in the front. And I go up there, and you can feel God in this room. I mean, I know God, all right? I know who God is. I've been in a lot of powerful services. I can feel God, and now I'm confused. I'm like, what is going on here? I can feel God. And this trio of singers walks out in front of everyone. And they got the late 80s rock and roll costumes on. All right, and they got early 80s rock and roll costumes on, and I'm thinking, what in the world have we got in our church service here? And you know the first song they sang is that one.
Amen.
And when they started that song, the glory of God fell in that room. You couldn't see it. But there wasn't a dry eye in that place. And I just turned around and looked because I know God. I may have been super bound by religious indoctrination, but I know God. I've been in a lot of services where God moved. And I'm like, man, God is in this place. Well, the guy that was in charge of that service was Jerry Meadows, the guy who I sent a letter to and said, what about tongues? And he said, it's obvious you haven't read your Bible, have you? Well, thank you, Brother Jerry. I'll go read my Bible. And that way I know what I learned. And I learned that at an Amway meeting. And it's been one of my favorites ever since. Now, we got to get this finished. Sister Phyllis, read us our closing verses.
I have to say God answered my prayers because I wanted that song sung so bad.
Well, that's good.
Thank you, Lord.
Next time, just type it in the notes, Patrick, and we sing this song.
That's all right. Phyllis picked it up in the spirit.
Phyllis got it in the spirit. Go, Phyllis.
Thank you so much. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Glory and dominion